Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and this is part two of my interview with Albany CrossFit Barbell Club team member, Miguel Porter. Now, before you listen to this episode, just make sure you're fully caught up on the conversation and that you have listened to episode number 48 before you dive into this one. If you haven't, go back. That way you're fully caught up on everything that we're talking about during this discussion. Thank you again so much for listening. And here we go with part two of my interview with Miguel Porter.
Overall in CrossFit, I had like a checklist of like things that I want to accomplish. And like, I don't know, maybe like a self-ranking. I don't know if anyone else in the gym does this, but like kind of ranking yourself among the other gym goers and seeing like, all right, in terms of like my Swiss Army knife, here are the skills that I have within it. Here are the movements that I know that I can do that like maybe this person may not be able to do this yet or like whatever, but I will put myself here because I'm able to do this movement now. Like if I had like a bingo board, I've got, my whole board is almost filled at this point of movements that I wanted to accomplish that now I can hit.
What's missing?
A competent handstand walk.
That was going to be my guess.
Yeah.
The handstand walk. It's like I said earlier, I feel like you're one of the best pullers in the history of the gym, rope climb, pull-ups, muscle-ups, things like that. And even like a clean, if you think about that, that's kind of like a pull to pull under. But pressing, especially overhead pressing, has kind of been our Achilles heel. You've got solid push-ups, but it's that overhead pressing is tough. And I imagine, you know, like when you're saying you have this checklist, I just you've seen Billy Madison, right?
Yeah.
You know, I just imagined a mirror written in lipstick, Lewis. Am I beating him in all these things? You're just kind of checking people off your list as you get skills. I think that's funny. What is the most gratifying thing to PR? Like that muscle up is probably going to be tough to beat getting at the top of the rings, but is there anything else where like if you hit a snatch PR, nothing tops that, or a clean and jerk PR, nothing tops that? What's the most gratifying thing to kind of set a new record on?
There's some things that they're different for different reasons. I mean, I'm still technically chasing a 300-pound back squat. And that's been my goal for a long time. Like I said, the first time we did the CrossFit total, I think I got 275 for my back squat.
Where are you at now?
I got 295 the last time we did it.
We're getting at this training cycle, Miguel.
We did it. Was it? We did the back squat, the power clean, and something else.
And the push press. We did the Penley total.
Yeah, I got 295 that day. But I guess when I got 275 that first time, obviously the next goal that like made sense was like 300. Not thinking of like how tough that would be to bump 25 pounds up for my back squat, but that for me is like, okay, that's just pure strength. I have like snatch numbers too that are like, snatches are really gratifying because it's like, it's so intricate and you really have to do things right. And like when you PR snatch, a lot of times when I PR snatch, it's like one of my best looking ones because if I'm gonna hit it, like, it's a weight that's heavy for me. Like if I'm hitting it, it almost has to be perfect. So when you get a snatch PR and you feel it at the bottom when you got it, a lot of the times when you PR and you just stand it up and it feels so smooth, like you barely even feel that it was heavier than the ones before. That's really gratifying where you're just like, that was easy.
It feels like you finally dominated the weight. That moment, it just felt effortless. And you stand up with it and you almost look around the room and you're like, wondering why did it take so long to do this?
Almost. Yeah, like how did I miss this three times before? And then this one feels perfect.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about weightlifting. You know, there's so much balance involved. There's so much efficiency needed. You know, like on a bar muscle up, you need that too, but you can kind of chicken wing your way over the pull-up bar for endless reps. But it's going to be really hard at a certain weight to, you know, finagle your way around a PR snatch. At some point, it just won't go anymore because you lose so much with every little degree of inefficiency that you have on the lift.
Yeah.
Now, since we're talking about snatches, let's segue back into weightlifting here, Miguel. What got you to join the barbell club? So you joined the gym for Albany CrossFit, and I'm sure I maybe hounded you forever about joining the barbell club until eventually you just gave in and just said, all right, let me go to one and have him shut up about it.
Actually, now that I think about it, it was probably to get better at CrossFit. Now, I think I want to say that I joined around, like, I can't remember what year it was. It was probably 2018. So I'd been at the gym for like a full year at that point. But I think it was like November, December, and I was thinking about the open. And I knew, like, because I was doing the open RX, and as a smaller athlete, like, to hit some of those weights that are needed, that I had to get a lot stronger. So for me, the best way to do that was like, let me hammer down on these barbell movements. So even though, like, because of my size, it's going to be heavy, if I can learn how to do these, like, the not just correct way, because I mean, we in CrossFit, you learn how to do it the correct way, but like to really get these down, to move these, I guess, the most efficient way for myself.
Okay. And you're going to spend more time with it too. Like in a CrossFit class, we're going to spend 5-7 minutes practicing technique, and then you're going to do the snatch workout, whatever it is, and you're going to get cueing here and there. But if it's a Metcon, you know, it's really hard to rein in your technique for a Metcon when you're fatigued and doing push-ups and burpees and other stuff. But now in barbell club, it's a little more of a slower, laid-back pace, and there's definitely more time spent. Like we probably spend like 40 minutes alone snatching most days.
So yeah, now looking back at it, it was 100% gearing up for the open that got me into it. And I remember specifically that 2019 open, there was the workout that had, I think it was like the fourth one that year. It was 10 power snatches, burpees over the bar. There was like a few rounds of that, the rest 3 minutes, and then like bar muscle ups and burpees over the bar. And I think the weight was, it may have been 95.
I want to say 115 for some reason.
Maybe. But I remember doing it, and Will was my judge. And I remember like throwing around the weight, and I did them in like sets of three. Like, I think I did like 4-3-3. And I was like, this feels good. Like, I feel like I'm not like killing myself doing this. And that was the moment where I was like, oh, barbell, like, has seriously worked for me. And then everything at the gym is like, eventually you will get coerced into, like, finally someone will wear you down into trying something that you don't really want to do. So like that same year,
it's essentially my job.
Yeah.
Just to wear people down.
I signed up for that Saratoga meet that we had. And then, yeah, that was my first competition. I've only done two, but yeah, after that, it like kind of solidified me. I was like, oh, I guess I'll keep on doing this.
Well, it's like, it's funny. Like you do that first meet and you're kind of like, I'm a weightlifter now. I'm official, you know, all that training I did has kind of led to this. And I stood on the platform. These are maybe not my PRs, but these are my most legit lifts ever, being judged by three referees in a strict competition. And at that first meet out in Saratoga, you went 3 for 6. You snatched 65 kilos, clean and jerked 78 kilos, and totaled 143, and qualified for the Arnold Championships coming up the following year. And it's a funny story because you almost bombed out on the snatch. So you missed the first snatch. I can't remember what we were opening up at. I want to say we're opening up at
my last snatch was just, we finally did a 1 kilo jump. So whatever it was before that, it was just 1 kilo.
So it was probably 64.
Yeah.
So it was, and you had the yellow plates on there plus the clips and some change plates. So it was 64 kilos and you missed it twice. And what surprised me is because you always seem so cool, calm, and collected. There never seems to be any crisis on the outside with Miguel. Yeah. And this was Schaff's first meet. So I actually thought that it was going to be the opposite, you know, like Schaff was going to be, you know, the handful, so to say. He was going to be having more issues. And then you were just going to go out there and just hit all your lifts. I think we were even probably joking with it. We're like, yeah, Miguel's just going to go out there and PR.
Because I mean, I think leading up, my snatches had been the most solid they had been. And I think even warming them up, I hit all of my snatches. And I mean, going out there, the first one, like later on after we talked about it, it was like, oh, that makes sense. Because looking at all the videos and stuff, it's like, oh, this is what I do. And I threw that first snatch behind me. I just threw it out. And then the second one I tried to hold on to, but again, it went behind me. And I think I was just like so jacked up, nerves that I just was making it, I was acting as though I was lifting 10 pounds heavier.
Well, it's funny how things change from training and the warm-up room. And then when you get out on that platform, you know, you have a plan and then that plan can go out the window so quickly. And the time between all these lifts, it's not a lot. All of a sudden we're down 2 lifts and it's like, what happened? It's like, it's like you did them back to back. It's just a whirlwind on the way the time goes down. What were you thinking after you missed the second snatch and I came over to you and I'm like, Miguel, we're going up?
I mean, I fully remembered that I didn't care. When you told me that we were going up, I was like, yeah, sure.
You don't have too much time to think about it.
I mean, I say this word a lot, being equanimous. So I try to keep everything level as possible, or pretend to at least. So when things go bad, I just try to stay at a neutral level. It kind of makes your lows a little bit higher because you're whatever. But it also makes your highs a little bit lower. I'm not a big celebrator. I'm not, sometimes I do get like that, but I mean, I don't get crazy excited over things, or at least I don't show it as much. So it's the same thing. I missed that first one and I was like, okay. Second one I missed and I was like, okay, I could bomb out here. And I remember I was standing up and you guys were like, all right, go sit down. and then you made that decision and everyone's they ask you if you're okay and you're not, of course. But if you tell yourself or if you reply to them, you say, I'm fine, this is fine, then your mind will, it'll all go through and you'll just be like, this is fine, whatever.
You just said that just now is exactly how you respond when we ask you that. That was verbatim, the same kind of inflection. Yeah, I'm fine.
And of course I'm not, on the inside, my insides are wrestling around in there, but yeah, you just tell yourself that you're fine, that it doesn't really matter, that if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. You can't really hold on to it too much. But I went out for that third snatch and we'd always talked about it leading up, like we said before, it's like everyone out there, even your competitors, are everyone wants you to win, like, or like to hit your lifts. So to go out there for my third snatch and like the cheers, because I mean, everyone knew that, like, all right, if he doesn't make this one, then, you know, he bombs out. And I mean, I think for everyone too, it's kind of just like, I don't want it to be awkward.
Yeah.
So it's like, to avoid that awkwardness, everyone's like, wow, I just hope he hits this one. But yeah, I try to stay level, and it sucked. And it, like, it made me so nervous. And it transferred onto the Arnold, honestly, that, like, it was just on my back the whole time. But to go out and then make that last lift of the snatch and being like, okay, I did it. Like, now just onto the clean and jerk. Let's just do this. And
yeah, all the pressure's off. And I know, like, I bumped you up because what you weren't missing these lifts because they were too heavy. They were clearly just nerves.
Yeah.
You know, you're missing them because of nerves. You're putting in, you weren't really trusting your technique all the way. Like, you're kind of catching them quasi power, quasi low, high. I think on one of them, your feet were staggered almost like a split snatch type of thing. So I figured if we're going down, we have to at least take a stab at the next one. Like, you missed the first attempt. Okay, this is your first meet. That was just all nerves. Let's just stay here. We know we can do this weight. Let's get it. Then when you miss it the second time, it's like, okay, I can't let him go down on 64. And then the thought would always be there, well, I could have gone heavier, or what if I went heavier? It's like, let's answer the question right now. Let's just bump it up. Just one little kilo, and that gets you blue plates. So for some reason, the color of the plates, they like affect your mood. You know, they affect the everything on the lift for some reason. And then you went out there and you got it. And it probably felt like the weight of the world had been lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah. And to think of like how much the timeline of my life would have changed if I didn't hit that last snatch. Like, there's no way that I would have ever competed again. Well, one, because I wouldn't have qualified for the Arnold.
Yep.
And two, because I would have never wanted to compete again if my first time I bombed out. So yeah, happy to make that last snatch.
And that's like a tricky thing too, because, you know, it's like, again, it's like, it's not like the weight was too heavy. Like, these were just intense nerves on these really light snatches. Like, if you would have made 64, we probably would have bumped you up to 67 or 68,
yeah,
and then gone somewhere in the 70s for a final attempt, maybe a 71 or a 70.
I fully expected to PR my snatch that day.
Yeah.
And then I missed the first one, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll end up finishing at my max. And then missing that second one and being like, okay, cool, I guess I'm just going to hit like a middle of the road, like 85% of my max snatch.
Yeah. Which is still, if you look at it, that's a competition PR.
Yeah.
So it's like, even though it's a weight you've done more of in the gym and training, it's still going to be, you know, a weight that you're going to try to beat in the future at another competition, which we did. So if we flash forward now, you went into retirement for a little while. So that's also another thing. After a meet, Miguel will go on a maybe 6-month hiatus from the barbell club, take some time off, recover. You know, you're like, I'm trying to think, there might be some superhero that does that, where after like a big battle, they have to just rejuvenate for a little while and get all the powers back. But you come back, you start training again in the winter, building up to the Arnold.
Well, I still was not even planning on ever competing again. Because I remember I did that Saratoga meet. That was the Saturday. I think that Tuesday, I went on vacation to Oregon.
Yep.
And I went there for 2 weeks. I came back, and I fully remember what it was. I came back, and I hadn't like worked out there at all, like really. I always do like once or twice, but I'm on vacation, and like I had just done a meet. I think the Monday before I flew out after that meet, we did Mary as a workout. And I remember I tore up my hands so bad.
Mm.
Like that the flight over to Oregon was like almost unbearable. Cause I had to like take like a needle and like pop all of all of the rips that I like had. So like, I didn't really want to work out. I came back and I went to the track with my friends, and the workout that night was going to be the CrossFit total. So I had in my head, I was like, okay, today's the day that I hit that 300 pound back squat. And we were running 150s, so around the track. And we started at the turn, and I remember running it with my friends. It was the first one that we did. And I was out in front, and then coming around the turn, about to start the straightaway, I felt like something kind of pop in my left leg. And like, I had never like injured myself before, like ever, but I felt it and I was like, I think that's my hamstring. But like, I was running with my friends, and just the competitive nature of like, I'm in front right now, I'm just gonna see if I can just finish this out. And not knowing for sure that that's what it was, I just kept on running. And then I felt my right one pop.
Oh God.
And then I just stopped and like laid in the turf afterwards. And I had pulled both hamstrings. So obviously didn't work out that night. And then like I came in, I afterwards, like a couple days later, like maybe a week later, and I had to scale a bunch of stuff working out. I wasn't back in barbell club yet, of course. And yeah, just changing around all the movements was like, it got to be kind of annoying. So I like kind of took a pause, and then my hamstrings had kind of healed up. It'd probably been like 2 weeks, or at least I thought that they were healed up. And they do these track meets at Colony High School over the summer, where like anyone can sign up. You just go with yourself, or like maybe you do a team. And me and my friends were going to run a relay, just a 4x1. So each person runs 100 meters. And I was like, you know, hamstring's still a little bit tight, but like, I should be fine. It's just 100 meters. And I was the third leg, meaning that I was at the last turn.
Those turns.
I guess it's the turns for me. And I got the baton, and I was running, and I got like towards the end, and my right one went out again. And there's like, I have a video of it, and you can literally see me like hobbling. Like you can see the step where it kind of got hit again. And I like kind of pop up, and I like hand off the baton at like the same point. And you can see me just hobble off to the fence. And it was just like, pulled it again. So I was out for a little bit longer, went on another vacation. And then I kind of took a break from CrossFit. So we did the meet end of June. It was June 22nd, I remember specifically. And then I didn't fully get back into weightlifting again until after fall face-off. So I think like end October. Of October. Yeah.
So this is just a roller coaster of the end of a summer here, tearing out hamstrings and things like that. And you know, it's funny, we joke about it in the club and whatnot, how you kind of have, like, you're such a young guy, but you have the joints of an old, much older man. Like,
oh yeah,
like
for sure.
Like you're in your early 20s, but you have the joints of like a 55-year-old master's athlete. And you go through your warm-up routine when you come in of like your master's style stretching and things like that, which is not a bad thing to do, but it just goes to show you that no matter what age you are, these things could happen, and you just have to wait it out and bounce back. How do you deal with tweaks and injuries like that to bounce back into training?
It's like, I know that I'm not taking care of myself as best as I can. But I do say people think that CrossFit and like Olympic weightlifting can like cause these injuries. But I think the truth is that people have a lot of these underlying issues that I think just stay dormant for a while because they're not using, you know, these muscles all the time. And so like so much of weightlifting and CrossFit is like balance, and you know, you see the way that your body's moving. And I think just regular day-to-day people have those same issues, but they don't have to, like, they're not overhead squatting. So they don't see that, like, oh, I know for me, like, because of my right knee, like, when I did overhead squats, I would lean first to the left, and my left side would get down, and then I'd get down on my right. And you don't see that when you're just doing regular person stuff. But when you get older, then it feels like it hits you like a train. But when you do these things that where you need to use all parts of your body, you can feel the imbalances early. And maybe it'll suck because you're using it all the time. So like you start to feel it earlier, but I feel like you catch it earlier, so then you can work on it. So then maybe when I am older, I'll already know how to deal with this. And I'll have the skills to like kind of counteract that in this meantime, where for other people, perhaps they're the same as me, where like they've had bad knees for years, but they don't really realize it until they're 50 and they can't like stand up from their couch.
Yeah. I mean, you're wise beyond your years, Miguel, like with this kind of thought process. Like not many athletes in their early 20s would think like this, but it's easy to put the blame on CrossFit, right? Because it's high intensity activity. But yet, you know, from experience, at least in our gym, we focus so much on teaching and form and doing things the right way and then getting that intensity. Yeah. And the logic behind it that they talk about at the bigger like CrossFit seminars is, well, even if you're coming in and you're doing these things and it's high intensity and it doesn't look perfect, we're still working towards getting it perfect. And that's why you have coaching to give you cues and to tell you to take weight off and, or to slow down or even to speed up in some instances. And that's all better than not doing anything and just sitting on the couch. So like which is better for overall long-term health, sitting on the couch and never doing anything and living in an inactive lifestyle, or going in the gym and okay, your knees can come in a couple times on some squats, but there's someone there to tell you, hey, push those knees out. Yeah. And to try to work towards getting better movement, because no one's perfect. Like we're all still working towards mastering the basics, squats, pull-ups, push-ups, things like that. But it's definitely way better than just sitting on your butt.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the Arnold now. We got to talk about the Arnold. So end of October, is that about when you came back to Barbell Club?
Yeah, and I had no intention of competing again.
So at what point did the peer pressure win out to help you make that decision?
Everyone, was it Christmas in Kilos that yep. everyone went to?
Yep.
I think you had told me that I had still qualified for the Arnold. But like, I wasn't really that interested in competing, especially all the way out in Ohio. And like, I'm like, yeah, you know, and everyone went to Christmas in Kilos. And I told Shaf, I said, because we knew what numbers he had to hit to qualify because he hadn't qualified earlier. And I said, if Shaf qualifies, I'll do it.
Put all this pressure on Shaf now.
And to see so many people went to that meet that were like new in the Barbell Club, and to see like everyone going out to that meet. I wasn't there, but you competed there. Haley competed, Bree competed.
Abby.
Abby, Diana.
Frank, Tracy, yep. Shaf. And I think that was our whole team. Yeah,
and to see everyone go there, and I was like, okay. And Shaf, I think he missed his first snatch at yep. that meet. And like he had to PR to qualify. And He did. So, I mean, I had to stick to my word. And I mean, I was kind of excited that he got it because I, you know, part of you is like, oh man, now I actually have to follow through with this.
Yeah.
And then the other part is like, okay, like, cool, let's do it then. Like, let's all go out there and let's compete as a team.
Yeah. I mean, he had a great meet that day. That was like a, we did a mock meet and you did the mock meet, I think, the Wednesday prior to Christmas and Kilos. And you may have even PR'd your snatch.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of these mock meets we do, you just roll out and just start hitting PRs after PR.
I think I hit 160. And I was looking at the video recently. And it was like a low power still.
Yeah.
But yeah. So he finally hit that. And yeah, from then on, it was like January. And I feel like the energy, like I wanted to like bring energy to it where I was like, all right, me and Shaf are like, we're doing something big here. So let's like really work. And I'm not going to just go to go. Like, I don't expect to win, but I'm not going to just go to go. Like, I want to compete and I want to do well there.
Yeah. And you did. I mean, we had a great, it was a great trip overall. Well, before we talk about how you did at it, what was it like when we got to the venue and you walked into the competition area for USA Weightlifting and you saw all the platforms going down and then you saw the back room where there's like 30 different warm-up stations in the back and weights and people everywhere. It's definitely a culture shock. Like it's so different than a local weightlifting meet with your local community because it's just that magnetized or multiplied by 10 or 20. What was it like seeing all that, like the true sport essentially of weightlifting?
I mean, it was crazy. And we got a toned down version because we, that night before we were going to drive out, we got the news that like COVID was like basically shutting down most of the Arnold.
That was like the hardest like pre-travel meet practice session ever because we found out mid training session that all that was going down and everyone was just really bummed.
Like that's the moment of the documentary that like is in the trailer, you know, because we all went for like our last like training and we were all lifting, like hitting our, going up to our openers, and then we got the news and it was just like we had to make the decision of like, are we still going to go? Is it worth it? Will they like cancel it once we get there, like fully? And the air got like deflated in the middle of like what we were doing. And everyone just stopped. Like we were going up to our openers and everyone kind of just stopped where we were.
Yeah, we finished snatches and then no one wanted to clean and jerk.
Like, yeah, no.
It's already hard sometimes to get motivation to do the clean and jerk. And everyone was just like, we're going to go to Chipotle.
Yeah.
We're just going to go eat.
I mean, walking in still to that room where all the platforms were was still crazy because there were a bunch of people all around. And when you finally had your day of lifting and you go behind the curtain and you see all the coaches and all the people, it's a crazy
experience. And you're seeing people that you probably follow on Instagram and social media. You're seeing
some
of the top USA weightlifters. And coaches, and that's a pretty cool thing too.
Yeah, I mean, the people that we saw that weekend, I mean, we probably would have saw more if it was like if it was the actual thing, but the energy was just crazy.
Yeah, and if anyone who doesn't realize what Miguel's saying with the actual thing is the expo part of the Arnold was canceled because of COVID and they didn't want people coming from all over the world for the expo with all the vendors and whatnot. So we kind of got a watered down version of the Arnold Classic where there wasn't all the vendors, but there was still competitions and there were some restrictions on who could go watch some of these competitions too. And a lot of stars from different sports did pull out too, including weightlifting. Well, the one star who didn't though would be Miguel Porter, went out there, we did our thing. Someday people are going to look back and be like, oh, I remember when Miguel did his first Arnold. I was there. That was the COVID Arnold. But at the meet, you went 4 for 6. You snatched 71 kilos. You clean and jerked 80 kilos. And you totaled 151 kilos, which was a all three of those were competition PRs now. So it's a good, good place to set some competition PRs is the Arnold. Although we kind of flip-flopped on the snatch and clean, we had a little more trouble on the clean and jerk this time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, leading up to even the snatch, I felt great, was warming up, and I was hitting all mine, and then we got to, like, our last two. And I missed it behind me. And then it was kind of like, okay. And it, like, even to me, I was just like, oh, okay. And then you were like, all right, let's just hit it again. So I went, and then maybe trying to overcorrect, I missed that next one in front of me. And then we were just like, there's kind of like a pause, and like in my head, I was just like, oh man, you better not start this again. And like, we just stopped there and we were like, okay, like we're fine. Let's just relax now. And then we'll hit our first one when we get out there. And like, that's like one of those moments where I just have to like, obviously I trust you to make the correct decision, but it was definitely like, for sure, that's exactly what I needed to hear from you. And like, that's exactly what we needed to do of me just like stopping, because if I tried again and I missed in that back room, I don't think I would have hit my opener going out, because I would have just been so in my head of like three misses before going out there. And yeah, we took that break. I went out, I hit my first snatch, and I was looking at the videos of these two, and it's so funny. One, because I power them all the time, and I don't know how I do that, but I power them, and then when that light shines and like when they make that like dinging sound, I just drop the bar and I just walk away. Like I don't know why I do that, but it's like I don't want to care that much, so I like just drop it and I just go. And then like, as I'm walking away, the screen's there and I see like the three white lights and I'm like, cool, got my first snatch. That's all we needed. Like,
everyone in the crowd is probably thinking he's a very stoic lifter. He's just, no emotion, just no, just drop it and immediately turn and come off.
Yeah. But I mean, hitting that first one was like, okay, I did it. I mean, both meets, honestly, I was so worried about the clean and jerk, because I have that lockout issue with my jerks. So that first meet to miss my first two snatches, I was like, okay, what's gonna happen now? That's my good thing.
Yeah.
But then going out for this meet and like having on my mind the snatches, like I needed like my redemption on my snatches, and then to go out and hit my first two extremely easily. Yeah, that felt great going into the clean and jerks. Like that was, even though I missed my third attempt, it was still like, I did what I had to do. I've got it down. So now I can like relax going into that clean and jerk. And I think that really helped.
Well, you're really good at making comebacks at these meets, you know, when you need to. And it's interesting to think back on this now. It's in the moment, there's like not a whole lot of time to think for athlete or coach. And like you miss two warmups in the back, one behind, one in front. And then it's like, all right, what do we do? And you know, what's the next play, so to say? And what do I say to you? And it's, you just hope it's the right thing in the moment, you know? And really I was probably thinking, well, one behind, one in front, number three will be right in the middle, you know? So it's always interesting to think back on these. And it's like, I couldn't even tell you what in the world was going on in my mind or anything at that moment. I think it's just you have to have just a constant high level of belief all the time. Like, even though it's almost like if you're on a ship that has a hole and it's going down, you're like, well, we'll make it to shore. And you just, You just keep on paddling, you know, and you just have to have that belief. Otherwise, what else is there than just to crumble and fail, you know? And I certainly can't show you guys, you know, disbelief or anything like that. Like, I feel like once that wavers, then it's like, well, then what are you going to think, you know? Like, at least if you're thinking someone is believing in you and knows, okay, that last lift, it doesn't matter, you're going to be okay, then you'll hopefully believe that too.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Like I said, I mean, what you said was exactly what I needed at the moment. And yeah, that helped for sure. Cause again, I, on the outside, it's like, I may seem like I'm cool, but like on the inside, it's like, I think so much, like my mind is going a mile a minute at all times. And to just have like, all right, whatever. Like, yeah. I trust you. You've done this many times more than I have. You know me as a coach, like probably as well as I know myself, like as an athlete. So in these moments too, like, you know my lifting probably better than I do. So, you know, you telling me that is like, okay, cool. Let me just relax. I'll go out there. I'll hit the weight. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I had a conversation last week on the podcast with Frank where we were talking about favorite weightlifters. And I said, well, like, I have favorite weightlifters who are like the legends and the popular people. But before them, my favorite weightlifters are my own lifters, you know, in maybe like a slightly selfish way, but also in a, it doesn't do me any good to know all of Matty Rogers' stats, but I need to know all of Miguel's stats and how Miguel is as an athlete and what you respond to and things like that. So in that sense, it's like, you guys are my favorite athletes. You're the ones I follow the most closely. Like, if I come to Barbell Club and I'm spouting off all the stats about, you know, Lasha or other people, that doesn't do anyone any good, you know, but I need to know everything about you guys, especially in that moment to kind of make a split decision on what we should do. It definitely helps. Now, in everything you've done so far with weightlifting, what's been your most memorable moment out of all of it? Done two meets, done a lot of training. It could be a memorable moment from training, it could be competition, it could be both.
I mean, most memorable is that first meet and missing my two snatches for sure. I'll never forget that. That's but I'll give you funniest moment.
Ooh, I like that.
It was at the Arnold. It was during the clean and jerks. And I had just hit my first clean and jerk and I got three white lights. Like, I was good. So I literally did not care at all after that. Like, I was like, I've got my total. Like, I already have my competition PR down. So like, whatever. I went out, I missed my second clean and jerk. Actually, funny story with that first clean and jerk, when like I kind of blacked out for a second, because I just didn't breathe, I guess.
I think I remember this.
And I remember I got the clean and like I was holding it up there and like I had to like shake my head and like blink a couple times to like get back into it. And I hit it. I missed my second clean and jerk at 80, and I kind of like didn't care. Like, I grabbed my water and I was like kind of sitting down and we were just like, it's fine. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't care. Like, I always say that, but like literally at that point I didn't care.
Yeah. You told
me. I was like taking a sip of my water and then you were like, I'm going to try to go bump you up, cause it looked like we can just go past that. And then you came back and you were like, it's too late. Like, we're hitting it again. So I like just taken a sip of my water and you're like, all right, get out there. And like, I like was like coughing it up as I was like walking out there, but I was like, okay, like I already totaled, like it doesn't matter. And then going out there and making that third one. But it was definitely like a funny moment. Maybe for you, you might've been like a little bit stressed out, cause like you had like gone over to the table. It felt like it was such a quick turnaround too.
I think what happened was they were really sketchy with the clock at different times during this meet. And it was either my mistake that the time just somehow got away from us, because like you said, it went super fast.
Yeah.
And I didn't make the declaration in time, but I think they must have shortchanged you on a clock. Because I got over there and I'm like, how in the world do I not have time to do this? And the guy's like, you can't make the change. And of course, now if I sit there and I fight with him, the clock is still ticking. So now I got to run back over there and be like, Miguel, get out there. We got to just go do this.
Because I had sat down and you and Frank were like giving me my pep talk, but like I was literally fine. So it was like a quick talk where you were like, okay, I think like you've got that. We're just going to go up. Like, I feel like that was the conversation. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then like you went there and you came back and you were like, all right, never mind. Let's just go out there and hit it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that was definitely like one of the funnier moments for sure.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, they shortchanged you on the clock. But hey, we bounced back and we made the lift, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that is our competition PR right now, 80 kilos on the clean and jerk, 71 on the snatch, 151 total. So now my last question for you, Miguel, is where do we go from here? We got the Christmas and kilos coming up. You missed that meet last year. We've been on a meet drought all year, essentially. Other than the Arnold, we haven't had any meets because of COVID. So I'm trying to ramp people up now to do that meet in December. And hopefully nothing crazy in the world happens that all of a sudden gyms are locked down again and stuff like that. So hopefully the meet happens. What are you thinking for the future with your weightlifting career? I know you retired briefly after the Arnold again.
Yeah. I mean, I guess unofficially we're up a weight class. So we're from 61 to 67 now.
Yep. I believe so.
So we'll test that out. We'll see where my numbers are at there. I feel like I haven't really attempted like a singular one rep max for my snatch. But I feel like it can be a good amount higher than it currently sits at. We're testing out like a push jerk, squat jerk type of thing now too. But I think having a meet coming up that I can like fully devote myself to it'll get me in the right mindset. And I think we'll start to see some bigger numbers once I kind of have something to aim for.
Definitely. I think we all need a goal. We all need something to kind of train for. And the nice thing is that it's at the end of the year. So we can finish out this rough year with a bang, hopefully. And it's always a fun meet out there in Auburn, Christmas and Kilos. And I think the decision to go up a weight class is the right one. Like when you told me that that's what you were thinking, I mean, we already had a little bit of, you know, the COVID weight on. Everyone put on a little bit of weight during that lockdown. I think it's the right decision. I think too many people are trying to cut down a weight class and have that stress on them for no reason. Like you're not trying to qualify for a team or anything like that. Of course, if you're a few kilos out and that's going to be the difference between qualifying for the next meet level up, okay, we might need to do that.
Yeah.
But I think for a local meet, it's like be a little heavier, lift a little heavier and have fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just because I have no clue how to properly cut weight and I've not done it, I guess, the correct way either time. I definitely sit a couple pounds over like where I was lifting at. So it wasn't like huge cuts that I was making, but like each time I was just like, there's got to be a better way. And again, it's like, I'm not, like, I'm still like a nobody. It's like, I'm not really trying to do anything crazy. So,
well, hold on now. You're Miguel Porter. Come on now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't need to be like, to be sitting above my weight class to be, you know, competitive. Like I can just be middle of the road of a weight class and like, feel like I'm properly fueling myself going into a meet and not have, like, that's another thing that you have to think about is like, all right, there's like boxing and MMA, like when they weigh in, it's like the day before. So they have all this time to properly like get themselves back to where they need to be. For us, it's 2 hours. So like, it's like no fun up until you weigh in and then you're like, okay, that thing is done. And then it's like in 2 hours, like sometimes I know for the Arnold, like I had no appetite after weighing in. And I hadn't eaten in like 36 hours before that because I was like so scared of like not making weight. So to get that like off my mind going into these next couple meets, if I do compete at 67, it'll be, hopefully that'll like free me up to like focus more on lifting and, you know.
Yeah. One last thing you have to worry about, you know, and it's not something that I offer often, you know, like I do know the proper way to do a weight cut, but it's like, so many beginners just focus on that and you don't need to. It's like you said, be in the weight class above, be in the class where your weight just naturally sits, and you're going to have pretty much almost the same performance, but a lot less stressful and maybe even a little bit better because you feel like you're well fed, which you should be. You shouldn't feel depleted and have to do a 9-hour drive out to Columbus, Ohio, just feeling like death. So hopefully the Christmas and Kilos meet will go down. Miguel, it's been great talking to you today. We're closing in on 2 hours here. We've been going since 9. So thanks for coming on the show. Any closing thoughts that you want to leave the listener with? Any Miguel words of wisdom?
I don't know. What am I thinking? Okay. Here are my unofficial rules for doubles. I'll leave with that.
I like this. All right. I like this.
If you're doing doubles, it should fit within an Instagram story. No longer than 15 seconds.
Okay. 15 seconds.
You can drop the bar if you want, but after you hit that first one, you drop it, you take a couple breaths, and you're back on that bar, or else, in my mind, doesn't count as a double.
Now, is this statement right now, is this in response to anyone else? Is there someone that you feel is taking too long between their reps on doubles and triples? And is that what you're speaking out now?
Yes, this is an official call out to literally everyone in my mind. Like I definitely rush when I'm doing like doubles and complexes and everything, but yeah, when I watch people and like they drop the bar and then they like reshuffle everything and then they like readjust everything and I'm like, that doesn't count.
So you're saying, does the bar have to be in motion by the time the 15 seconds is up, or is it just your hands are back on the bar and you're getting set up?
Depending on how long your setup is.
Okay.
But so yeah, like, I feel like you should be starting your next lift within that 15 seconds. And jerks obviously will take a bit longer, but if you're doing snatch doubles, it should be bar drop, a couple seconds, and then right back on.
I like it. I will go with the 15 seconds. I think the Instagram story is a good benchmark. And then it might mean you have to go even faster on triples if you're trying to get a triple in that Instagram story. Maybe the time bumps up a little bit for that. But I like it. And most of the time when you guys are doing doubles, you guys are going touch and go for as long as possible.
Yeah. And I think that we keep each other accountable too.
Yeah, I see that from time to time. If we're doing doubles and or triples, everyone's kind of watching the clock. And if Schaff is fixing his hair for too long or adjusting his socks or complaining or whatever else, you know, then you guys will get on him or just get on each other. So awesome. Well, I like it. That's good words of wisdom. Miguel, where can people follow you? Is there anything that you want to promote on the show for people to go look at? Anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, you can find me on the Albany CrossFit Barbell Club Instagram.
Yep. Go follow that.
That's always been cool to like see myself featured on an Instagram page, and like to see everyone in the club featured on that is always great. Yeah, yeah, you can see like the fun that we're having when we all go for big lifts and yeah.
Yeah, I know not everyone likes it at the time when I pull out the camera, but everyone certainly likes it when you're in the limelight, you know,
Yeah.
And hopefully it makes everyone feel special. It's like you're like a star of something, you know, and if we could, we would film our complete little reality show of a barbell club and just air it out there. I think we'd get a lot of good views off of that.
Yeah, we
got
to do like a recruitment video.
Yeah, I like that. We'll figure that out. Cool. So follow the Barbell Club, see Miguel's videos there. Follow your Instagram. What's your Instagram if you want to put that out?
It's couldn't be Miguel.
Couldn't.
Yeah, couldn't be Miguel at Instagram or at couldn't be Miguel.
Okay, awesome. So follow Miguel, couldn't be Miguel, which it will be when you follow him. Check out his lifts on the Omni CrossFit Instagram page. Make sure you follow The Barbell Strikes Back. Follow me, James A. McDermott, on Instagram. Miguel, thank you so much again for coming on. Great show.
Yeah, thank you. This has been great.
What we have to do eventually is get you on, get Schaff on, and we'll get some of that, you know, classic Schaff Miguel banter going on.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone will love to hear that. It'll be funny.
You know what it reminds me of? You watch The Muppets?
Yeah.
Like, you know that.
In the peanut gallery.
Yep, the two old men in the peanut gallery. That's how, like, they rag on each other, but then they also like bust on other people, and they have their little laugh and whatnot. That's what you guys kind of remind me of. That or either Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thank you again, Miguel, for coming on. We'll have to get you on again soon.
Thank you.